We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
For those that have been with us the last few weeks, you know we are in the middle of what has now turned into a series. I didn't think it was supposed to be this way, but you know, sometimes that's what happens. We're talking about living for legacy. Remember, last week you didn't allow me to finish on time, so I've got to continue the message today. Now, if you guys would all just be a little quieter, I'll be able to get through this much quicker. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's right. But yeah, we've been talking about living for legacy, and since we know that there's no guarantee in this life for tomorrow, we've got to make sure today counts for something, isn't that right? Death is the only certainty we have as we live. And I know some of you say, well, if Jesus comes back, I may not have to die. Believe me, I'm on that boat too. I'd like to not die. Maybe we're going to be the generation that doesn't have to. But every generation before us would tell you death is certain, right? And so we got to choose to live on purpose with this day. I know it's been hard because as I stood over yet another casket just this past Friday and officiated another funeral, it's just a constant reminder of how fragile life really is. I've been thinking a lot about questions like, if I died tomorrow, how would I be remembered? I've been thinking a lot about questions like, what will I be remembered by and or for? And I think that the only person that can make that decision is you. Oftentimes, we don't realize we're making the decision by not making a decision. Let me unpack that for you. What I mean is that you are going to be remembered by something. And if you don't make that something very well defined, others will define it by you not defining it. Others will remember you by what they thought you meant, not by what you really meant. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Only person that can change the course in your life is you. Someone said, well, the Holy Spirit can do that. No, only if you are led by the Holy Spirit. You have to make the decision, and that's why God inevitably makes you the most accountable and responsible party for you. And that's why we live in a world that pushes against the idea of God, because they don't want accountability or responsibility. They want to live for their everyday emotion. Do you realize where there is no purpose, you fall to just doing what feels good? Last week, we started to talk a little bit about somebody that Jesus talks about when it comes to having a good reputation, when it comes to doing the right thing. He begins to speak in a parable about the Good Samaritan. And so as I do a really quick review, I'm going to read this again because it's going to give us our direction today. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered this correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Remember last week we talked about how this expert in the law was actually just trying to find out at what level he'd have to be held accountable. Where do the boundaries end on the expectations of who he loves? See, nowadays we find a lot of people making boundaries based on who they don't have to love because of what that person thinks, because of how that person may or because of how that person may vote, or because of whatever you want to fill in the blank. But really, we think as though God is okay with where we decided to draw boundaries on who our neighbors are. And God goes, I didn't put that boundary there. I'm not okay with that. So it continues in reply. Jesus didn't just say, no, let me tell you who your neighbor is. Remember, I told you last week, my daughter thinks we only have two neighbors, to the left and to the right. And I had to begin defining to Mackenzie that, remember, like, they're like the idea of block parties, and there's a lot more people than just your neighbors that are your neighbors. And I had to start defining what God thinks about your neighbor. And so Jesus goes on to say this. This is a response, remember, for the question, who's my neighbor? Jesus goes, a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, what did he do? He saw him, he passed by on the other side. So imagine this broken down, beaten up person who's in desperate need. these two people who weren't just random people. Jesus chose to speak of the priest who's supposed to have a moral fiber and an ethic code and a care for people that should go beyond the usual. Hello? It should be a calling, right? And then he didn't just choose anyone. He chose the tribe of Levi, the Levites, who were known that this was the tribe God had chosen to have all the priests come from in the Jewish culture. So now he's not only saying the priest himself, he's also saying the chosen tribe that should understand the call of God on their life. Who, by the way, shots fired, he's speaking to one of them who is asking him the question. It's like talking about his mama. Jesus went dirty. Okay? Like, am I in church? Yes, just. Okay? And so, where am I? Okay, and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he didn't cross on the other side. He took pity on him. Continuing, he went to him and bandaged his wounds and pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. That wasn't a little bit of money for him. That wasn't a little bit. That was wages and wages. That was days and days of wages, okay? And so, look, it continues, and he says this, look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Now, if anyone's hearing this as Jesus is saying this, they would have in that day, in that culture, understood, first of all, Samaritans, they weren't like Levites or priests. They were on the bottom of the totem pole. They were experiencing tons of racism in that day. In fact, these people, the Samaritans, weren't supposed to be spoken to by Jews. Are you hearing this? So the person hearing this is actually getting burned that a lower class would show more care to someone in their own class. Because this guy that was going from Jerusalem back to Jericho, based on the studies, that would have been somebody in the higher class. If he could live in Jericho in that time, he had money. Hence why he was robbed, because he had something worth stealing. Okay? So the point is this. He's explaining to him, this person who is a lower class citizen who you don't even speak to was showing love to their neighbor, while these people that are supposed to have all this moral fiber were acting like many of you, as he was saying in that time. Not you, and them, okay? Where am I? Somebody help me. Help me! Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. When it comes to living for legacy, number one, this is a quick review from last week, so everyone's on the same page. Number one, how I treat others matters to God and reveals my relationship with him. And I got to do this quick if I'm going to finish this message. I can't blame it on you 2 weeks in a row. So 1 John 4:21 says, and he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So let me say it this way, and this is some strong statements, but you can't truly love God while hating Republicans or Democrats. You can't truly love God while you think less of another because of their vaccination status. I'm going to let that one hang out there for a minute. You can't truly love God but despise your brother and sister because they think differently about something than you do. The Bible says, you can't claim to love the God you can't see when you don't love the person you can see. There's a disconnect. So stop thinking you're good with God when you're not good with others. Stop allowing the world to convince you to betray your brothers and sisters because they think differently than you. Let's put it this way. I'm asking you, act more like Jesus and less like Judas. Don't turn your back and betray your brothers and sisters because now they think differently than you, okay? I got to keep moving. Number two, how I treat others spotlights my character. Look, literally, my character is spotlit. There's a backlight on my life right now that is explaining who I am based on what I do. What I do, not my intentions. Remember last week I said we always like to judge other people based on their immediate actions, but we like to put our actions through the filter of intentions so we feel better even though we had the same actions. We're saying, God, give me grace, but, Lightning, strike that man. Oh, like you've never thought it. Now you're a liar, too. All right, we'll continue because number three, my generosity reveals my level of trust in God's ability. Remember, we're just catching up here. This is a review, but the Samaritan, he was not a rich person. He was a lower class citizen, yet he chose to be generous because it was the right thing to do, because it would have been what he hoped others would do for him, that golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do to you, not as they did to you. We all live in that different rule where we've somehow gone back to an eye for an eye. Because that person won't forgive me, I won't forgive them. And because that person speaks ill of me, I'll speak ill of them. And you know what? We're just going to continue to go round and round in the depravity of sin and act like it's okay because they started it. It's not okay. Tell your neighbor it's not okay. All right, I'm going to start. If you were here last week, we're now continuing. Number four. Your legacy is already being revealed by people, by how people speak of you. It's already being revealed because remember, we're talking about trying to live with this idea of legacy in mind, right? I want my children to be blessed by my name. I don't want my children to have to try and run away from my name the rest of their life. That's a way to think about it. I want people to be blessed by the life that I was able to live. I want them to understand that when it comes to my purposes and my passions, they align. It's not just what I say, but not what I do. I want to make sure that when I am finally put to rest, I hope someone's sad. I've been to far too many funerals where there's not enough tears shed. It's okay to not cry. But I'll tell you, if there was a life worth living, then the tears are actually in honor to the memory of the person. I hope they quickly turn to smiles based on the fact that somebody felt like they were lucky enough to know me to be able to cry over me. But I get to decide whether I'm going to live a life that actually provokes that kind of reaction. Am I going to live a life that actually makes heaven rejoice when I get there, not like, oh, who are you again? Oh, you just made it by the hair of your chinny chin chin. Yep. You're this way. I mean, you're here. That's great. Everybody, welcome. What's it? Joe? Joe. Welcome, Joe. Is that Joe? Nope, not that Joe. Just no Joe. No offense, Joe. Listen. Your legacy is already being revealed by how people speak of you. Ecclesiastes 7 says this, a good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. How I'm remembered matters more than my bank accounts. In fact, the more you're blessed with, the more you're responsible with. If God wants to bless you in a different way, make sure that you're not living hands clenched. If God has blessed you, allow it to come and go because the one that brought it to you can bring more. But when your hands are clenched, he can't give you any more. Choose to live a generous life. Choose to be a person that considers others. I thought that was pretty good. Look at this quote. It takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it. If you think about it, you'll do things differently. I don't care who said it, it was right. Man. Youth ministry for 15 years trying to help young people understand all it takes is one night to ruin your life. All it takes is one decision that could derail everything you hoped and dreamed. It doesn't mean that God can't redeem it. It doesn't mean that there won't be purpose that can come out of it because God can turn all things to good for those who believe, but it can certainly derail any hope you had for your future when you originally dreamed of it. Yes? So we've got to be responsible for our decisions. I'd say it all the time. Don't make big decisions. The little acronym HALT, right? When you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, and when you're tired. Don't make any major decisions because you're going to do it wrong. Okay? So how do people speak of you now? I'm not referring to the haters who are drinking all that haterade. You're always going to have haters, and if you're doing anything worth anything, then you're going to provoke people to stand against you. They're evil. No. They allowed me to lead this church. But listen, I'm not talking about the haters, those fringe resistance people, but the common core of people around you. How do they speak of you? What is the widely known reputation of you? Because see, how the majority speak of you reveals the legacy you are currently building. You are currently building. Are you the kind of person that they know not to call when it's time to move because they already know you're going to make up a bad excuse? Well, it's just when, I just don't like moving people. Well, they won't call you when it's important either because you're already building that reputation. And more importantly, when you call on somebody, unless they're going to be like, okay, God help me, they're probably not going to want to help you much, even though they should. But it's not because they want to. All right? So there is time to change, but normally the change comes from humbling ourselves and asking people to forgive us or forgiving others, letting some things go, realizing life is just too short to keep drinking the poison called bitterness, thinking it's going to kill them when it's only killing you. Proverbs 22 says it this way: a good name is more desirable than great wealth. Respect is better than silver or gold. It matters. Our reputation matters to God because you are his billboard and you are carrying him with you. You ever heard that story, that saying that, you know, someone may never read the Bible, they may never come to know Jesus, or they may never understand anything more about Jesus. They may never pick up the Bible, or really what it comes down to is you may be the only Bible they read. How messed up is your Chad International version? Is it really a Bible, or is it more of like a paraphrase? Like, mine's going to be hip like the Message. It's just a paraphrase, not a translation. Really want to translate what God's trying to say through my life. Okay? And it's not really up to your interpretation. Okay, I'll keep moving. Number 5, how you finish is more important than how you start. When it comes to your legacy, man, you can have some seriously dark, bad rounds of the fights on the first half, but how you finish is what matters. I don't care how bad your rope-a-dope looks, but can you come out on top? Can you allow yourself to take the hits and not blame God? It says in Luke 10, the next day, the Good Samaritan took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him. When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. See, a lot of us, we only go half the distance. A lot of us would feel so good about ourselves just bandaging and using the oil and the wine and putting him on our own donkey and bringing him to an inn and then saying, man, that was my good deed for the day. Hopefully he figures it out from here. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. He had the finish line in mind. Look, until this guy is back on his 2 feet, I'm going to make sure I have responsibility now that I've gotten involved, and I'm going to make sure I see it through. When's the last time you really knew you should have seen something through, but instead you ended early because of fatigue? See, people talk about burnout and fatigue. It's a reality, absolutely. But what I know is the only way an oil lamp burns out is when there's no more oil in it. So it's not about how good for how long you can do good. It's about whether you're continually seeing the one who's good in your life and refilling the oil in your world so that you can keep burning, not burning out. People say, man, I'm burnt out. I just need a break. And it's like, well, when's the last time you actually, you know, because I'll talk to people that are involved in ministry or in serving on a team, and they're like, I just need to step back. I'm like, when's the last time you opened the Bible on your own time? When's the last time you actually, you know, I'm still going through the Bible in a year and ever, you know, I'm trying to encourage people, get in the Word, get in the Word. But if the only time you get to eat spiritually is for an hour a week, of course you're not going to make it. We're in a church where I'm encouraging you to open your Bible. Ask questions. More importantly, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what you're about to read, because that's how you're going to unlock the understanding, right? But what I do know is that I have to be responsible. Remember in the parable of the 10 virgins, and they all had their lanterns and they were waiting on the Lord, on their bridegroom to come, and they didn't know when he was going to come, but some were prepared with extra oil and it was up to them to maintain their flame. It's still up to us to maintain our flame. It's still our responsibility. So remember, how you finish is more important than how you start. Somebody that had a really jacked up beginning is like, yeah. You know, they don't love the cards that they were dealt, but they are figuring out, you know, I'm going to preach a whole message on poker. Because you know what? Some people, they saw the cards they were dealt and they're like, wow, this is horrible. But that river drops and you're like, oh, I get to use his cards. When God allows you to use his cards, oh, there's a series in there. Okay, how you finish is more important than how you start. It's not just about doing well or doing good enough early so that you can relax later. We must finish well. Look what it says in Acts 20. It says, my only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Look again in 2 Timothy 4. You know, it says, I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. No one's interested if you are in the race. They want to know if you finished the race. You know? Oh, yeah, I was in that marathon. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I only made it a mile and a half. First Gatorade stop, I just parked it. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. They had the blue Gatorade. They know that Glacier Freeze is my jam. Okay, that's where I stopped. No, like, people want to know that you continued and finished. Like, oh, what was your time? Like, what do you mean? Like, did you finish? Okay. Side note. How well you work with others matters, too, when it comes to legacy. You know, what was really interesting, whenever I read this parable, it's always interesting to me the way in which the Samaritan was able to get the buy-in of the innkeeper, who already had a job to do. The fact that he was saying, hey, if you do this, you know, the way in which we work with others matters. If no one can work with you, it also speaks to your reputation. Well, I just like to do things on my own. Yeah, I know, but maybe it's also because you don't have a lot of friends. If you're not going to hear the truth in the church, where are you going to hear it? The Bible says he who wants friends must show themselves to be friendly. Sometimes that means lingering after church long enough to kind of run into some conversations with people, to kind of introduce yourself. You know, there's so many times I talk with people and they say, man, no one talked to me. And I was like, oh, man, did you get introduced to anybody? No. When did you show up? In the middle of the second song. When did you leave? While the video was playing. So you had no time to talk to anybody and you're blaming everyone else? The Bible says the early church, they broke bread and fellowshiped daily. There was a real community of relationship because they went out of their way to get to know their brothers and sisters. Why on earth do you think our church does a big ice cream sundae? Do you think we just try and, we're like, you know what? I think everyone likes ice cream. Let's just buy everyone ice cream. It'd be awesome. It's so that you'll stand around and talk to 30 people and get to know your church family. The reason that we even do these things is so that you get a chance to meet somebody. Well, I don't go to those events. Well, then that's why. I'm gonna eat your ice cream too. I'll move on. You do know when I preach this strong, it helps me not have to counsel later. I'll drink to that. Number six. Legacy is built off of actions, not intentions. Off of actions, not intentions. Luke 10 says this, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him to what? Go and do. Go and do likewise. Going and doing. See, what you have been intending to do, you need to go and do today. I always bring it up because there's something inside of us that wants to hold on to a problem that wants to continue to count the records of wrongs of somebody that has done it against them. You know, that's why 1 Corinthians 13, come on, you remember that, right? What is love? Love, 1 Corinthians 13, right? Where it talks about how we are to keep no record of wrong. I'm just really making sure you remember something today. But listen, we are people that like to hold on to things and make people earn their grace and their forgiveness, and then we turn to Jesus and expect it. If only we would be more like Jesus. If you say, well, every day I'm just trying to be more like Jesus, well, then forgive that person. I know it's been 2.5 years. They're not going to come back and earn it. Then again, we expect Jesus to give us the grace and mercy. Why aren't we doing the same? It's about actions, not intentions. I have people ask, why does Christianity have to be so hard? Why does it seem God has set the bar so high? These questions directly connect to God's expectations of us. Why must we be held accountable? See, in the Bible, when God spoke to his people about something he wanted them to do, each person had to make a major adjustment in his or her life. See, we feel like Christianity should just go along and run parallel with what our plans are. But when we submit our lives to God, God then reveals the blueprint to our life and says, you need to make some changes. See, Noah, he could not build the ark without sacrificing his time. He was called to build the ark. He knew exactly what God had called him to do. It didn't sound fun to him. But yet, he sacrificed time to make it happen. What about David? He had to give up wearing someone else's armor to fight the giant, Goliath. I'm sure when you're about to walk out there, you probably are thinking, man, I really wish that armor would have fit. I really wish I could have had a little bit more protection before I walked into this war. You know, what about Esther? She had to push fear aside and approach the king with her request to save her people, regardless of what tradition said or that she could lose her life. Jesus didn't intend on saving us and stopping. He gave up his position in heaven in order to join the Father in providing redemption through his death on the cross. Now that's real action. See, whenever I begin to feel tired or overwhelmed or simply like this life is too hard, I go back and read this scripture in Hebrews. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So no, you don't have to be perfect. We already had someone that is perfect. Let's continue reading. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand, the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose hearts. It's not that we won't have the thoughts of why this is hard or how sometimes being a Christian seems difficult. Yeah, but what Christ did was much more difficult. And I'm going to continue to persevere to live the legacy. See, when Jesus laid down his life for us, it was so that we would lay down our life and pick up his. And number 7, as I close and finish with this, it's not too late to begin living for legacy. Regardless of how many people you crossed the street on and bypassed when they were in need, you can choose today to stop for that person you see. You can choose to be the Good Samaritan today, not the Levites. Yesterday was the Levite. Today was the Good Samaritan. Although we're not guaranteed tomorrow, we do have what's left of today to begin a shift. Make the decision today and again tomorrow. Choose not to do what is easy, but what is right. Choose to live out the golden rule, Matthew 7, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. So look, it for those who are thinking this may be like, well, then am I living for other people and not Jesus? I thought I was supposed to be living for the audience of one. See, the way in which we love other people determines whether we get applauded from the audience of one. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. See, when we choose to live the life Jesus called, it lights the path for those living in darkness. It creates a runway for those seeking. Let them see you light up in a way that attracts those looking for the truth. I want my legacy to be that I was a man who fiercely loved God, my family, and my neighbor. Someone who cared enough for my brother and sister in Christ to be honest even when it hurts. Someone who lived with the Holy Spirit actively leading and guiding my steps. Someone whose life showed fruits, or what I like to call proof of the Spirit. It says in Galatians 5, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Look at, if I have the ability to live a long life, that's what I hope. I think we all hope that, right? A long life of quality, yeah. Regardless of whether I die tomorrow or whether I die another 60 years from now, I just want people to remember me that I lived a life that was for something more than myself, because that will be where legacy comes from.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.